Ooh, can you hear it, folks? The sounds of El Coqui in Puerto Rico. Welcome this week, mi amigos, mi panas, my family, to Positivamente Yo. And I am digitally transporting us to the island of Puerto Rico, where my Afro-Latinx roots hail from. I consider it my mother country. Puerto Rico has gone through so much within this last decade and last century. From being a colony of the United States after being free for only a day or two from Spanish colonial rule, Puerto Rico has had it rough. From the 90s to the 2000s and now into the new decade of 2020, Puerto Rico has gotten the short end of many sticks, whether it was Promesa, Maria, and even with HIV/AIDS. There are a huge spike in cases of individuals contracting and being affected by HIV and AIDS. 2019 saw a 50% increase in men having sex with men contracting the virus. And this is why I felt it was important to head down to Puerto Rico and to meet with my friend, my activist, my hermano, the beautiful, the amazing Alexis Díaz de León. León. But I cannot wait for you all to take this journey with me, to meet my co-host Alexi, and hear about what the hell's going on in Puerto Rico. We talk about everything under the sun that includes the political status. We wouldn't be Puerto Ricans if we didn't talk politics, to truly the matter at hand, which is what's going on with the HIV/AIDS community and fight and struggle in Puerto Rico, and how you can connect with Alexi's amazing work. Stay tuned after the jump for this amazing three-part journey with my co-host this week, Alexis Díaz León.
Hello.
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 Hello, my name is HIV.
You wouldn't expect me to look healthy, would you?
I'm handsome and suave.
I'm cute as a doll.
I don't discriminate against anyone at all.
I'm black.
I'm white.
I'm gay.
I'm straight.
I come from people who don't know the truth.
Why?
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 Because they've never been tested for proof.
Alrighty, folks, we're here with Alexi Díaz León from Puerto Rico, my homeland, my love. Alexi, thank you so much for doing this. Bienvenido, amigo. How are you today?
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm doing good and I'm happy to be here. Finally, you know, to join you in one of your episodes.
I know this is season two and I've been trying since last season to get you on because you are amazing and badass. And Alexi, I just want for all of our listeners, if you can just, primero, que nada, just introduce yourself, like who you are, what you do, what part of Puerto Rico you're from, and a little bit of your background and how you're connected to, you know, HIV and AIDS and all of this work.
Sure thing. So my name is Alexi Díaz. I'm 39 years old. I have been living with HIV for 7.5 years now. I'm originally from Calle, Puerto Rico. It's a town in the center of the island. So I'm a little country boy in that sense. but I'm currently living in San Juan. And in terms of HIV activism and the work I do, it all started back in probably 2015. I was diagnosed with HIV while living in Miami. So after I broke up with the boyfriend I had at the time, I kind of was forced to disclose my status because of living in Florida and, you know, disclosure laws they have there. And it got to a point that I was like, well, if I'm gonna be doing this, like, with certain types of people, I'm just gonna jump right in and do it public. And that's how I started doing it.
Awesome, perfecto, gracias. And so now you're in Puerto Rico, you're in San Juan.
Yes.
So what is, and I know you recently, as last year, you were named an ambassador for HIV, like the public face of it in Puerto Rico. What is your work specifically that you're doing in Puerto Rico? And how is the state of HIV and AIDS in Puerto Rico right now?
Sure. So the CDC has this program. It's tied up to the ending the HIV epidemic plan that is set up for 2020. So they basically, this is the fourth year that they're running it, and the second year that Puerto Rico is included, because Puerto Rico is one of those places that they consider hotspots, that they have had an increase of 50% of new cases from the prior year. So that's why they decided to get an ambassador, is the title they gave us. And basically what I do is with them is provide information in terms of treatment, prevention, care, testing, and then just try to debunk certain myths related to, you know, stigma and misinformation people may have with HIV. In terms of Puerto Rico and the HIV/AIDS situation, well, it's mostly concentrated here in San Juan, being the capital, and it's mostly younger folks in their early 20s, probably their mid-30s, and mostly men that have sex with men. So basically, young, gay, queer, bi people, and guys in the download that are having sex. And there's a couple of clinics that do the work of providing medical services and also providing medication, but there's also a lot of organizations that also do testing, and then they tie you to then medical services like for PrEP and treatment. And yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, te preocupes. This is all great information, because here in the US, fíjate, the largest percent of individuals who are actually contracting the virus in the United States are Latino and Black men having sex with men at a higher disproportionate rate compared to our white counterparts. And so for me specifically, you know, being paused living here in the mainland US, knowing that specifically in Latino communities, Latino men having sex with men, one out of every four US men having sex with men, Latinos, have HIV. And out of that, three do not know that they have the disease. So it's crazy to me to hear that in La Isla, it has increased over 50%. Now, Puerto Rico has experienced, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, Alexi, but to our listeners, they've gone through so much this last decade, from whether it's Promesa and the fiscal crisis and the stupidity that the U.S. has imposed on Puerto Rico financially, to Hurricane Maria, to everything that's going on, to the ousting of the governor, this governor being voted out of office in her primary. Like, how does the island of Puerto Rico right now, because you're there, mi amigo, I have not been there in over a year and a half. I'm going to go at the end of the year, so tenemos que conectar. But what is the current state of Puerto Rico right now, and how does that impact the work that you're doing?
Pues mira, when I moved back was in July 2017, so just a couple of months before the whole Maria situation. And it shows really how bad it in terms of the status is for the island being, you know, a modern time colony. So services, right, for HIV and treatment and prevention and access to care, all of that is tied to federal funding. But there's, you know, this difference from being in the States and being here in the island, that we're seeing differently in terms of our needs. For example, like the CDC, most of their information, the propaganda and the stuff they provide is in English, so it doesn't really translate to the Latin and Spanish speaking folks, especially being a Caribbean island that also has ties with the US. So we're kind of like a mix of US and the rest of Latin America. So we're, I would say, kind of like an experiment in that sense. And then you add that to that mix, the problems in government, like you said, like the summer of 2019, when we took out the last governor, Ricardo Rosselló. And then all of the bad things like his administration has kept doing that is now being led by the current governor, Wanda Vasquez. It shows that our leaders cannot take care of us. And part of that is that it came out to the news that we might lose one I think it was $1,000 million dollars, or one. It was a ridiculous amount of money for Medicare that has not been used, and it will expire. So part of those funding could be geared, you know, toward using that money to get people to care, giving them access to transportation, and just helping disseminate all this information about stigma the way they have been doing it with propaganda for COVID. That will help a lot.
That is crazy. I did not know. And that, fíjate, like, right? We here on the U.S. mainland Boricuas, we are in our own little bubble sometimes. And so to hear that that is what's going on in the island is alarming and concerning. And I want to kind of talk, because culturally, and you just stated that, like, a large population of men having sex with men on the island are seeing an increase in HIV and AIDS rates. And yet, you know, I was raised Católico, Cristiano, Puerto Rico, still to that kind of degree. And even when I go out there and visit my familia, son de Guanica y Ponce, when I go down there, it's still a little bit taboo to almost admit that you're a homosexual or that you're out, and it's 2020. So how has that, like, how has that whole underlining Christianity, homophobia, underlining tone really impacted you being so out there? Because you must have a target on your back being publicly out there.
Funny thing, so I was brought up actually Jehovah's Witness, so I was like in another kind of league. So being gay and now, you know, living with HIV, it was kind of like a different experience for me. Also coming from a little town in the island, but yeah, all of those morals from Catholicism and hardcore Christians are still present in the way that people who live with HIV are seen. I have experienced it in the apps, like in Grindr and all of those, like scruffing. People tell me that, you know, I had it because I deserve it, because I was whoring around. They use, you know, the T word in Spanish. And
yeah, it's okay, so, you can say we swear on so the podcast, they call
puta,
me right?
Puta por estar puteando, you know, to just, you know, been jumping around from man to man. And at the beginning of me living with HIV, it was kind of like hard and discouraging just to have it publicly, but I have learned to not let it bother me, because there's nothing wrong with me. But there's a target in terms of the way people look at you, and if you go like public, or some comments people may say when you are, I'm being very vocal about that Puerto Rico doesn't have any non-disclosure laws, so you don't have to disclose it before having sex with someone, particularly if you're like undetectable. So there's no chance someone who is having sex with me, even if the condom breaks, we decide not to have a condom, that guy that is not on PrEP, he will not get HIV from me. But then there's people like, you know, the very moralistic one that that do say that we have to disclose it because we have to protect them. And that just kind of pisses me off that, you know, we as HIV folks also have to take their health, their sexual health, in our hands. So it's very unjust the way we're treated and the way we're seen at. So all these Christian people use their morals to, you know, measure us, because like even a doctor, I had a appendicitis surgery last year, and the surgeon in the hospital, when he asked me if I had any conditions, I told him, and he asked me why. So I was like, you don't need to know.
So, exactly. He really asked you why you had it?
Yes, he asked me why. And that was like the first time I ever had like that type of encounter with a doctor. And the thing is that that hospital, even though it's private, is a Catholic hospital. So it's called Auxilio Mutuo. So, you know, even Christianity and Catholicism has a big influence in medical services. So that's why I brought it up.
Wow. And I think this is a good place for us to pause, folks. And for you, Alexi, I just want to say, yo te considero un héroe because you are really fighting the stigma and doing the work. And so after the break, folks, we're going to come back with Alexi, and I'm going to ask him a little bit more as to what organizations or what things exist in Puerto Rico, and a little bit more about his journey working for the CDC and how he feels about the current state of Puerto Rico in the U.S. We're going to get into all of that after the break on Positivamente Yo. Stay with us.
On November 3rd, 86 out of 99 state legislative chambers are holding elections.
There are 70 million young eligible voters, the largest and most diverse generation in our country's history.
We have the power to shape our country and communities,
but we need all of us.
So picture this.
On November 3rd, we choose.
We choose who sits in 435 seats in the House of Representatives.
We choose 24 senators and 13 governors.
We choose the sheriffs, the DAs, and the judges too.
With 70 million young eligible voters, we choose to align a vision too humane to be political.
And make the future prouder than it's ever been.
So when the alarm goes off on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, and you arrive at your polling site, to see freedom clocking two-hour waits.
Vote anyway. When the machines stop working and your job starts calling because American democracy is running late again, vote anyway.
Your vote is bigger than the color of your state.
It is a revolution in motion.
The moment you took to the streets and to the screens to share your outrage,
you recommitted to our collective dream, which requires that you lift it out of hashtags and into DC and your communities.
Because remember, this is the same year that brought a pandemic which disproportionately killed Black and Brown Americans and Indigenous people.
The same 2020 that took the breath of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Nina Pop, and Dominique Fels.
So on November 3rd, 2020.
Know that voter suppression will be present.
Vote anyway. You will be discouraged.
Vote anyway. Tuesday will be imperfect.
Vote anyway.
When every headline is shouting democracy and duty in swing states.
You will be asked to believe in a dream that never came to fruition for every American. And despite your best reason,
you must uphold it. Because we can't vote a world into existence that we can't first imagine.
The American dream is ours for the making.
Come alive for ancestors who need you to finish their story.
A story that begs for atonement.
Cast your promise.
Cast your promise. Cast your vote.
Cast your vote.
But vote!
Alrighty, folks, we are back here with Alexi Diaz-Leon, who is, again, an ambassador for the Center for Disease Control in Puerto Rico. He's a leading activist and organizer and truly a hero, and I've been dying to get him on for the last 2 years. I'm so honored and blessed that I finally made it work because, again, Puerto Rico, folks, as Alexi has said, is a sub-colony of the United States. Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, and yet they do not get the right to vote for president. Puerto Rico's state government, quote unquote, answers and gets a lot of its funding from the federal government. And as Alexi was saying, the government is going to retract millions of dollars in federal funding towards Medicare, Medicaid, and government insurance money that could go towards testing. And Alexi, that staggering number of 50% of an increase among men having sex with men is heartbreaking. But I want to ask you, Alexi, what organizations, because you're an ambassador on the island, what amazing or badass organizations or groups are really doing some cool, innovative work that you've worked with, or are you, do you start one, do you have one, that are doing amazing work with HIV?
But mira, so there's a couple of organizations, so I'm gonna just break it out with the ones that are clinical ones. I'm gonna start with those. So there's two of them. One of the oldest one is called CONCRA. They're in the heart of Rio Piedras, where the university community is, and there's a large percentage of young folks that live around that area. So they get like their services for STIs and HIV and treatment and prevention. And also they do a lot of like outreach and community engagement. So they're one of those. And then the one that I attend actually is called HOPE or Centro Ararat. And they're in Santurce, which is another large group also with surrounded by university students. So they're centered in the, I would say, in the hotspots of the locations where younger people are actually being newly diagnosed. Now, community organizations, I have a couple in my list that I have worked with. One of them is called Pangea. This one is led by a wonderful activist. Her name is Lorangelis. And she is also a person who lives with HIV, and she is very public about it. And she likes to do a lot of workshops to help empower people living with HIV, and also to empower women who are HIV positive. And then she also liked to, she started a group last summer of artists living with HIV here in the island. So that's how I connected with her, and that's how we have been doing work together. We're actually gonna do a workshop where I'm gonna talk about the importance of language to reduce stigma. So that will be in October. And then there's also some groups that also receive funding for testing. It's called Achetop. There's one group that is called Trans Tanama, which is geared also to a portion of our community that is lacking in terms of services and funding in the island, because you know, most trans people are not counted in the numbers and statistics to receive funding, because some people don't know where to get tested or are afraid to be labeled as HIV, because unfortunately there's also this idea that sex work is bad work, and most trans people tend to end up doing sex work because they don't get jobs in other areas. So some of the sex workers don't want to be tied to also HIV, so they're not counted. And Trans Tanama offers, you know, services for testing, prevention, and what else? What other groups? There's service providers by the municipality of San Juan that also has a clinic for trans people. And there's this also this other group that I have worked with in social media. It's called Salud y Sexualidad. In las redes, it's called Sexting. And it's from the University of Puerto Rico, the medical campus. And basically what they do is they provide information, medical information and data, but also like connect you to other groups regarding HIV and STIs. And they're doing a wonderful job also trying to help eliminate stigma and just keep the ball rolling for people just to be conscious about their sexual health.
That is amazing. Thank you for sharing all those references. And folks, definitely check out all of those lists. And I'm sure Alexi will provide me the lists in detail, and I can share that on all of our social media pages when this episode airs. Alexi, I have to ask you, I'm going to get a little bit political right now.
Sure.
But we wouldn't be boricuas if we didn't get political, right?
Exacto.
So as you know, I basically steered the Commonwealth or sub-colonial status of Puerto Rico to the United States. Like you said, in 2019, we saw the beautiful mobilization and uprising of Puerto Ricanos all over the island, and here the diaspora here in the U.S. saying, listen, Ricky, you have to go.
Yes.
What do you feel, how do you feel Puerto Rico's destiny lies currently, and where do you, because you're a young activist, 39, 39 is young, we see a lot of Puerto Ricanos coming here from the island who are in your age range. Why do you still choose to be on the island, and what do you feel Puerto Rico's destiny is?
Pues mira, so the political status, right? So what we call Verano del 19, it was a really important statement in terms of that we're fed up with what has been happening in the past, like over 100 years, almost 100 years. It has been over 100 years with the ties with the U.S., but locally, the local government, it hasn't been that old. But we're tired of this bipartisan that we have with two main parties, and that they have done just, you know, broken basically the island in terms of economy and also like the spirit of Puerto Ricans living here in the island. That's why a lot of people are just leaving. Politically, I think that what most of these parties aspire, one aspires to have Puerto Rico become a state, even though the U.S. has said repeatedly that it won't do that. I don't know why they're just so tied to that dream. So I don't think that happening in the future. And I don't think the current state that we have, that is sort of like a limbo state. We have certain rights and certain powers, but we are not full-fledged U.S. citizen in the sense that, like you said, we cannot vote in the federal, for the president in the federal elections. But, you know, our votes do get counted when they come for the primaries. So that's kind of like stupid to do that and unjust. And also we have some sort of like a speaker in the camera, but she doesn't vote. So she's just sitting there getting paid just like an influencer of sorts. So that doesn't get really the job done. So what has happened in the past, I guess, couple of years, since particularly after the Ricky incident, is that a new party was formed also. It's more of like a socialist, I would call it, idea, and it integrates folks from different views, from independency, statehood. It's like a merge of people who were not happy with their party, and they're using, you know, their knowledge, and they want to change the current state of the island. So a lot of they have been promoting a lot of young folks to register to vote. That actually the deadline is tomorrow on the 14th, and it has been happening. So like there's like lines of people waiting to register to vote, a lot of young folks, because young people are tired of the current state that we're living in, and we don't, you know, we don't want to keep suffering and repeating history. We want to change it.
Yeah. And so folks listening at home, I just want to kind of to jump in. Thank you. This is all amazing, Alexi. What Alexi is saying is basically in Congress, Puerto Rico gets a representative, but does the representative in the House of Representatives does not get to vote. So they are very much like Washington, D.C., in that they're there, but they don't get to vote. And Puerto Rico gets zero votes or representation in the United States Senate. Yes. So they have zero votes in federal courts and judges. And I only know this because I was doing activist work. Puerto Rico's federal judgeship falls under the Boston municipality. Yes. And so it is crazy that Puerto Ricans, when they have to fight federal charges or federal bureaucracy, have to literally take a plane to Boston, Massachusetts, because that is where their courtship lies. And so, Alexi, I just want to know, because the governor's race is coming up, is this new party, what's the name of the new party? So, who's their governor candidate? Sure. Like, what's going on?
So their new party is called Movimiento Victoria Ciudadana, and the governor, you know, the person who has been nominated to be the governor is Alexandra Lugaro. She was an independent runner in last election, and she actually got, I think, over 20,000 or like 30,000 votes on her own, not being affiliated with any party. And that was like a high number compared to actually the candidate of the independent party that has been like year after year, they don't get so many numbers. And in the current polls, they're trending between first place and second place in terms of winning the elections. But you know, polls not necessarily translate to reality.
Unfortunately, we learned that with Trump. Yes.
Yes.
They do not translate
yes.
to reality.
I was actually bullshit. In Miami when that happened, and my heart broke. I didn't sleep.
Oh my God.
So, but yeah, so they have a lot of good candidates. They have a guy who is currently in the Senate that is running for mayor of San Juan. His name is his last name is Natal. And there are also a couple of people who are going to Senate, like Maria Nogales, who actually lives in the community I live. And they're, you know, betting on younger folks and younger faces, working class citizens. Because it's like with Alexandra Ocasio, you know, people want to see themselves represented with people who look and talk like them. not, you know, the fat pigs that we currently have in session that have
gotten yes, tell them.
So accustomed to their lifestyle that they keep stealing money. Like there have been a couple of federal arrests from folk in the Senate that have been, you know, doing money laundering and wasting people's money. And we're just tired of that. And you asked me why did I came back? Well, my story is kind of like, different in a time when people were leaving. I actually came back, and I came back to the island because I was dealing with a lot of depression while living in Miami, and that led me to substance abuse. So it got to a point that I also lost my job and probably would have ended up homeless. So I needed help. And what place, better place to just regroup and get better than at home. Miami never felt like home. Puerto Rico is home. My family's here. And then that actually also propelled me to want to help others achieve around wellness and helping people. So far, I don't regret it. I'm actually happy to be here and just try to fight for a change for a better future.
Oh, I love that, Alexi. Thank you so much. And as someone, I'm clean and sober for like 12, 13 years now from a substance use myself. And so, Ache, Luis Progreso to you for that. I love you for that.
Gracias.
And so, besides that, I was one of only 5 openly HIV elected public officials in the U.S. I used to be a city councilor. And so I really want you one day, Alexi. I'm putting it out there to all my listeners. Alexi better run for office one day, and I'm going to come and support you and knock doors for you and do a caravana for you and tocar la puerta. But you are truly the future and the change that we need, not only in Puerto Rico, but in the world. And so, folks, I think this is a good place for us to break. I'm so sad. A half hour goes by so quick, Alexi, as you can tell. So we're going to have you back 1,000,002 times, no te preocupes. But folks, when we come back for our final segment with Alexi, we're going to like shed the seriousness and get to know him a little bit better with my favorite segment. We'll be right back after the jump on Positivamente Yo.
Alrighty, folks, it is time for my favorite new segment that I'm going to feature throughout this entire season, and it's called Poetry Prose. I've really gotten into my own poetry writing, and I will be sharing my own poems throughout the season. However, I wanted to highlight poets that I love and know who specifically speak to HIV and AIDS, and I feel that through the power of spoken word and poetry, we can really move and connect with others. And so, here it is, this week's Poetry Prose. H. H is for hearing. I can hear the internal voice in my mind saying that I am unclean, I am a slut, I've risked it all, I'm damaged goods, I'm toxic, I'm diseased, I'm dirty. Ah! Having risked it all and received this eternal curse through love and trust, commitment, monogamy, loyalty, and yet stupidity. But I am internalizing rejection and now realizing that it's a common denominator in this overtly sexualized hookup culture that is queer America. The second I share my zero status, only the strong remain, the weak flee and hide. Ignorance in the face of factual science, but I live in my truth. It should be celebrated and welcomed as refreshing honesty. Instead, I've been told, I catch colds too quick. You can't drink out of the same cup as me. I can't take PrEP. I have a weak stomach. I've heard every fucking excuse in the book. V is for validation. But that is the least of my desires. What I am truly seeking is a valiant man who will venture beyond stigma and love, and who will truly, voraciously vie for my unconditional being. He will be vigilant of all of life's harm and dangers, and he will voraciously, basically, come to me with love and greatness. Soy positivo y orgulloso. I am HIV positive and proud.
Hey folks, if you like what you're hearing, please like, subscribe, and share your favorite episode on your social media platforms. Look for Positivamente Joe on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. That's POZITIVAMENTEYO, Positivamente Joe. Don't forget, share, like, subscribe. Thank you so much for all the love. Share your comments, your feedback, and your thoughts on whatever we're talking about. Check you out soon. Positivamente yo on your social media platforms.
Alrighty, folks, unfortunately, we're back for our final segment with Alexi Diaz León, the amazing brother hermano. Tú tienes un hermano aquí conmigo in Chicago. You have to come out as well. Tiene una casa, está invitado, confianza, for everyone listening, that's between me and him anyway. But for Alexi, anyone who's listening right now, to all of our followers and everyone out there in the world, how can they find you or look you up on social media if they have questions or if they want to support the work that you're doing?
Sure. So you can either reach me through my personal social media. So in Instagram, it will be aldialeo, A-L-D-I-L-E-O. And also you can follow me. I have a social media platforms for HIV and providing information locally to folks here in the island in Spanish. And it's called Convivir. In Instagram, it will be convivir.pr. And in Facebook, it will be the same, but without the PR. So this is a project that I'm running with a friend of mine that I think you know, Irving. So
yes.
So yeah, this is a little project that we developed as part of some conference we did for his law school. So it evolved to this.
That is awesome. I'm gonna support it también because you know I love you guys and that's amazing. And so for our final segment, Alexi, I do this with all of my guests. It's just so that way we can kind of break up the intensity because doing this work is tiring. Doing this work is fuerte. But I thank you for doing it. And like I said, your story is powerful. I need to get you on again because we're going to keep doing this as many times as I can. But this final segment is an homage to me being a little gay boy watching Bravo and Inside the Actor's Studio is my favorite show growing up. Because James Lipson got to ask amazing stars questions. So
vale.
I'm going to ask you 10 questions. You answer truthfully, and you can explain. I want you to get into details why. Pero la primera pregunta, whenever you're ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Is, what is your favorite word? ¿Cuál es la palabra favorito de ustedes?
My favorite word. I think it will be life. In terms of vida, because for a long time I just felt, particularly when you're doing abusing substances, you feel like you're not actually living. It's like being some sort of like a shadow of yourself. Mm. So I like life because it's unpredictable and you get to experience it differently every day.
That's beautiful. Vida! Che, I love it. Okay, what is your least favorite word?
I hate that word, actually. It's called resilience. I don't like it because it's an American... that's how I see it, and a lot of people too see it. It's an American experience. It's not a Latin American experience, and particularly for Puerto Ricans that we have been under... El puño, you know, being under the hand of another government for so long, and they praise us for our sturdiness and keep pushing back, and it's not, you know, resilience. is we're on survival mode. We have been like that for a long time, so we're not resilient. So that's why I don't like that word.
Awesome. No, I agree. I agree. Now, to your madre, padre, tia, because I'm sure you're going to share this with all your friends and family. Any family, take off the earphones right now because we're going to get personal. pero, what are your biggest turn-offs? What turns you on?
Well, I like hairy men. It's a big turn-on. If I see body hair, that does it for me. I also turn on by older men. And intellect, smart, you know, people who can talk to me, have a conversation. We can have shallow conversations if you want, but if, you know, if you discuss politics, environment, and all of those things and curious stuff, you also can win me over.
Perfecto. So all you hairy professor daddies out there in Puerto Rico, Alexi, are you single though? So then we think,
yeah,
oh,
yes,
okay,
yes.
Perfecto, yes. Perfecto. Okay, I'm just putting it out there. Ahora, what's the opposite? What are your biggest turn-offs? What are like, ay, no puedo.
But mira, I think that has evolved. I don't like the people who go and tend to say the mask for mask and that they don't like fanboys and they criticize anything that departs from the heteronormative. That doesn't do it for me. People who also that talk down to other folks because of their economic situation or their education, you know, that also doesn't do it for me. And guys who don't kiss, bad kissers, oh my god, that is a no-no.
I'm sorry, imagínate, alguien que no puede besar pa'l carajo, salte, imagínate, fuera.
Yeah, if they cannot kiss, they cannot suck, and they cannot eat ass, so yes.
Okay, familia, you can put your earphones back on, we are done with the sexual question. Pero, now what is your, what sound or noise do you love? What sound or noise really brings you joy?
Sound. I like actually the sound of, and this brings me back to my childhood. I like the sound of rain falling into los techos, zinc metal like roofs. You see that a lot in the center of the island, and also on the wind just rushing through the trees. So those are two sounds that I actually enjoy a lot.
Man, I love, my favorite thing are thunderstorms and lightning storms. Cuando la tormenta entra y you get the viento. And the rain. Qué bueno, qué rico. Okay, what sound or noise do you hate? What, ¿qué te pone mal? What is it?
Well, I have this pet peeve that if I cannot identify where a sound is coming from, the source, I get really pissed off. So anything that is kind of like I cannot figure out where it comes from. Like, and a quick anecdote, like I was in a class in law school and there was this clicking noise with keyboards and nails and I couldn't figure out where it was. And it took me like half an hour and I finally found out where it was coming from and then I was at ease. So yeah, those things annoy me, not a particular sound.
Perfecto. What is your favorite curse word? You puedes hablar en español and we'll translate it.
Sure. Well, I like puñeta a lot. I use it as a turn-on word, I guess. And when I'm mad, I guess I use coño, carajo, but yeah.
Coño, carajo. Yeah. You gotta say it with feeling, vámonos.
Yeah. And fuck, that I tend to go to that word too.
Perfecto. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt or try?
Ooh, that's that's a good one. I would love probably to now that I'm I guess at this age and with my experiences, maybe be a college professor or I used to write a lot, like a short story, maybe attempt full-time writing. I guess those two.
Perfecto. Yeah, Yupi, hello, if you're hiring, you need to call him. Vamos, avanza. Okay, what profession or job would you not like to attempt or try? Or like, nunca voy a hacer eso.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a police guard, particularly in the times we're living with black lives and brown lives and trans lives being taken down. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'll ever be a police officer.
Okay. Final question, and I'm so sad we're wrapping this up. You don't even know, Alexia. Literally, de verdad, yo puedo seguir por como dos o tres horas con ustedes. But the final question for our time on the podcast is, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear the God of your understanding say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You did good.
Hiciste bien. Ya
hiciste bien, yeah.
Ahora come los tostones, los papitas y ya carne.
Y el mofongo.
El mofongo, ay, sí, como no. Alexi, thank you so much for taking this half hour with me and my listeners to be my co-host for today. De verdad, you really don't even know. I stalk you all the time. I like all your stuff. You are amazing and a hero. Gracias por todo que tú haces allá en Puerto Rico y por el mundo. Y de verdad, tiene un amistad por siempre conmigo. You are always welcome back, IH.
Gracias a ti, and thank you, folks, for listening. This was fun.
I cannot wait, and do not worry. We'll do it, folks. Yeah. Folks, when I come back after the jump, I'm going to get my final thoughts on Alexi. So that means Alexi has to listen in to hear what I actually think about this book, see? And so after the jump, we'll come back with our final thoughts. Don't forget Poetry Pros every week. And don't forget to like, listen, and subscribe. Coming up next, I'm Positivamente Yo.
Fitness is an important part of my daily routine.
Part of my routine is thinking about what I need to do for the day. Once I'm out of the bed, we're running.
Making sure I take time for myself is part of my routine. And as a part of my routine, I make sure I take my HIV meds before I go to bed.
I always take my HIV medicine every day.
Switching from 3 pills a day to 1 pill a day just made it seem like this is it. If you don't feel good, you can't give your best. Get in care, stay in care.
Live well.
Bueno, mi gente, I am back in El Yunque with the Coquis here in Puerto Rico, even though I'm in Chicago and it's getting cold. I'm imagining myself on the island. I cannot wait, Alexi, to go out there and to stand mano y mano with you in your fight and struggle to end and eradicate HIV on the island. Gracias for your struggle, your battle, your honesty, living not only in your pause truth, but in your recovery truth. And thank you for sharing this time with me. And thank you to all of you listening, as always. Luz y progreso, love and light, Ache. I cannot wait for you guys to come back next week. Oh my God, it just keeps getting better and better. Season 2, don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to share this on your social media. I love you all. Get some rest, take care of yourself, and be safe out there. Bye, adios.